Welcome to The Agent's Angle, the show where we hope to educate and inform, if not promote, debate on matters relating to the football agent world. I'm Jonathan Booker.
And I'm Peter Palaiologos. As we enter a week with an important deadline for all of those who aspire to be a FIFA-licensed football agent, we examine the assistance that exists for these candidates in passing the exam to enter the realm of football agency.
And although the exam is a critical point for any new football agents, they also need to consider professional development to make them the best agent they can be, in terms of education and professional development.
All that to come on this episode of The Agent's Angle.
So after our unscheduled episode last week, following the failed appeal to overturn the injunction in Germany over FIFA's FFAR, the FIFA Football Agent Regulations, and our exclusive interview with Michael Frank, one of the agents who brought forward that successful case installing FFAR, normal service is resumed. Well, for now at least, with an episode and topic that was scheduled, and that is the subject of football agent education and professional development.
Yes, Jonathan, this is a big, important topic in the agent space. As I mentioned, I think in the last podcast, the popularity of the FIFA agent's license is still very high, just by looking at the number of people still interested in taking the exam, including a lot of people that I know here in Australia and across Asia, and also the ability to take the exam as many times as you wish, even if you didn't pass at your first time. So if you do get the license, then you need to undertake continued professional development, which is called CPD, provided by FIFA. But also, agency is not just about CPD and exams. I would say it's about mentorship. If you can get some internships, there's some also good courses that have been curated by stakeholders, one which we'll mention today, which can give agents upskilling opportunities and also more strategic insights into the business.
But before we start on the main topic for this episode, Peter, there were a couple of things that have recently come out in the news in the last week or so in England and the UK, which I think should be of interest, not just to British football agents, but also those agents around the world who may be working in connection with the British market, either now or in the future. The first is the release of the Football Governance Bill by the UK government relating to an independent football regulator. But the first thing to note is that this still has to be passed into law. And the feeling is that with a clear path, the regulator will be in place by 2025. And I actually support an independent regulator for British football as a whole. However, some in football don't. But on the subject of agents, and as I have said before, there is no mention yet of agents being under the remit of this independent regulator. And that for me is no real surprise, given what has been published and spoken of before. However, the impact of such a regulator will affect clubs and leagues. So it is safe to say there will be a knock-on effect for agents in some ways, if only indirectly. The second matter, which will also in time, I believe, be affected by the independent football regulator, is in relation to the Premier League in England, who have agreed a new set of PSR, profits and sustainability rules, which will affect the club's spending and thus the business of agents in the Premier League and beyond. And these new rules could be implemented as early as this summer. But without going into all the technicalities, as I understand it, these rules will be aligned with UEFA's squad cost ratio rules. So it is pretty safe to say Premier League club recruitment will be affected, and this will also have an impact on agents. And also, in my opinion, many clubs around the world who may not even be EPL clubs. But there are a few things to keep in mind with these changes for EPL clubs. The first is, as we mentioned, the independent regulator will have a say in this. Also, at the moment, there's currently a bit of a standoff between the EPL, the Premier League, and the EFL, the English Football League, who represent the divisions that fall immediately below the Premier League over the redistribution of funds. And that's quite a lot of money. And with the aforementioned independent regulator, I understand they will actually have the power to rule on redistribution of such funds when in place, if an agreement cannot be agreed between the leagues and the clubs. Now, I don't know if I should ask an Australian about the fair distribution of funds in football, given the various debates over Australian football finances and development. But Peter, what is your take on those two items I mentioned from an agent's angle, especially from an international perspective?
Firstly, this is a very big debate that's happening in England in terms of the new regulator. I've been following a little bit, but I've also been following the distribution of funds. And when we say the distribution of funds, the English Football League clubs, EFL clubs, they have a target of, I believe, about 25% they were hoping for in terms of net media revenue from the Premier League and also EFL combined. And they're thinking they're only offered close to 15%. Now, there's a bit of a standoff. The Premier League, they're saying that they're offering around 20-21%. So there's still opportunity for negotiation. Now, the only issue for the regulator is, as you know, Jonathan, with the FIFA statutes and the Football Association, what it needs to abide by, and also about political interference. FIFA does not allow political interference. So if an independent regulator is seen as doing things on behalf of the government in order to sort out clubs or sort out leagues, that may be seen as political interference. So that is a big issue. Fair distribution of monies is not just in England, it's across the world. And I'll mention Australia in a sec, but one advantage here in England is you've got the Premier League. The league in terms of funding is at the stratosphere compared to, say, the English Football League and a lot of other leagues in the world. But we also remember, and from outside, that a lot of people care for the EPL. And that's why the EPL gets so much funding. It's not just from England, it's from outside. Now, in Australia, we know that TV rights money is not enough for all the clubs. So there's always a fight about that. Italy had a recent TV deal, which overall the value was slightly down. France's TV or media rights deal also had issues. And then in Spain, we had a situation previously where Barcelona, Real Madrid wanted their own sort of funding model, and then La Liga wanted a certain different type of funding model. So what's happening in England is echoing around the world, but I think England is important because it has 92 clubs, EFL and Premier League, and that distribution is central for all the clubs in terms of going forward, and not just their survival, but their ability to meet all the demands and also grow.
Absolutely. And you mentioned there the government interference aspect of it. And that's been a bit of a pet topic for me for a long, long time. And I actually see there's a difference between government interference and government intervention when it comes to football. But that is a big topic in itself. But let's move on from rules and regulations in England and look at something relating to FIFA rules, regulations, and licensing. And it is time to utter those dreaded letters, FFAR. Now, as we mentioned in the introduction, at the time this episode of the show is published, it will be just 1 week before the deadline for applications on the 31st of March to sit the third FIFA football agents exam in May this year. Miss the deadline, and the next exam will likely be in November, but I don't think a date has been confirmed yet for that exam, and the deadline for that one will be the end of September 2024 to apply. After that, in 2025, we don't know when the next exam will be, if there will be any, and if I recall correctly from the various draft regulations that were being developed pre-2023, the understanding was that from 2025 onwards, there would only be one exam per year, but that may have changed. And with the exam in mind, a lot of people would be looking for help and guidance with the exam. And there has been a deluge of courses on the topic as far back as January 2023, when the FFAR was first publicly released by FIFA. In fact, I would go as far to say that the football agent landscape now has more courses for agents than the PGA has courses for golfers. In early 2023, there were probably five notable exam preparation courses, but not more than 10. But now I would estimate there are probably more than 50 courses and new agent preparation courses for the exams coming up almost weekly now.
Yes, there's a plethora of agent education courses. You just go to Facebook or LinkedIn, especially LinkedIn, you will see a lot of courses. In fact, if you Google FIFA agent exam course or assistance, a whole lot of courses come up. Some are from big name agencies, some are from agents with a profile or a brand, some are from universities or sports management institutes. Law firms are big in the space as well. And then there's the language offerings. There will be several in Spanish and other language offerings as well. And we know also that down the track, there's pressure to offer the exam in Portuguese at least because of the Brazilian situation where the court there found that it's not in a language, but all the people who want to take the exam understand in Brazil, which is Portuguese. I actually think the FIFA exam, agents exam that is, has created a new industry, consulting, advisory, education industry. And basically, it's become a whole situation itself. Now, generally, with the exam, I would say for me, even though it's multiple choice, it seems like a law exam. And in many ways, in terms of training or structure, it has to be done in a law school approach or fashion. Now, it's interesting that the agent associations, and there's quite a few of them, none of them are actually providing courses. Some may prefer to link with private providers, but other than one that comes to mind, maybe two, and they're more regional associations, I'm surprised a lot of the agent association aren't providing courses. Because at the end of the day, they're central to understanding the regulations and have for a long time. A lot of people that are part of these agent associations would understand that. I'm very surprised with that because they know the content and teaching methodology is very important. Now, if just basically on these courses, you know, there's a lot to choose from, and really you would have to assess which one is suitable for you, because at the end of the day, it's up to you to study. It's not just based on the instructor and the courses.
Yeah, we've seen some of the content for these courses. Some are good, some are bad, and some are downright awful. I think the one that really grates with me are those that have offered to do it free of charge to raise people's awareness, and then they turn around in the second breath and say there's a charge. So that's something to be aware of. In fact, I've seen some courses in the past saying they have exam questions from FIFA as revision material or mock tests. But the questions in some of those cases related to the old exam, pre-2015, or weren't applicable to these FFAR as they stand at the moment. The other thing to note is the price of some of these courses. Some are very reasonable, that's only a few hundred euros, if not less, whilst others are charging thousands. And to be quite honest, some of the cheaper ones would arguably be better for some candidates. And as you rightly said, it would have been good if some of the national associations, federations or agents associations, maybe even FIFA, offered some training for these candidates. But as far as I know, there's only the African Football Agents Association from these who have offered any such training in a structured way. And I know he's far too modest to raise this himself, but my esteemed co-host here has actually mentored and guided free of charge quite a few people through the first two exams and has quite a high success rate himself. But I think your mentoring of candidates for the agent's exam is on hold for the foreseeable future, Peter.
Thank you for that little bit of commentary. But look, for me, I've helped quite a few people, but I've done it for free. But as someone who wants assistance, and there's some good courses there, you will always have to ask, has the instructor sat the exam? Have they got experience in FIFA law or sports law or football law? Have they been to CAS or the Dispute Resolution Chamber of FIFA? Have they dealt with a lot of these themes directly? Because we know a lot of it's to do with the RSTP. The regulation status transfer of players, very important. I have mentored and helped several Australian candidates with just resources, tips, strategy, how to read the material, but it's always up to each individual candidate to put in the work. Yes, Jonathan, most of the guys I've helped passed. However, it's a case-by-case basis. I've seen one person that I assisted only study 1 week and get through, and someone who studied for 4 months falter. So it's very case-by-case. Now, we mentioned the African Football Agent Association. They did offer a very boutique course for a lot of the African candidates. I actually assisted a little bit. I went to one of the workshops, but not to really go through all the material. It was more about giving brutal, direct advice on what needed to be done and the discipline to prepare for the exam. And that's important. And tips, how to use your time effectively and how to study effectively. I know that you saw the failure rates in the second exam were much higher, although they weren't published. But these exams, for me, are a bit easier than the ones that were done pre-2015, pre the intermediate regulations, where we only saw 1-2 people pass at each exam sitting.
Absolutely no doubt in my mind they're a bit easier than 2015. But in regards to the course providers, I actually wonder if any of them are confident enough to offer candidates their money back, a free second course, or even the cost of their exam should the candidate fail the exam. Maybe someone does offer this, but I haven't seen one as of yet. But with all the information we have now on the exam after 2 sittings and the observations of many we've spoken to, I don't think there's any one course that will suit every candidate or guarantee success. And in all honesty, what we've heard about the exam, as you rightly said, there's a huge slice of luck involved with what the FIFA database generates in terms of questions that one candidate gets compared to another candidate in the same exam. One person may get 75% of questions on safeguarding and none on FFAR, whilst another candidate gets the exact opposite, or close to. And this imbalance and unfairness is clear from some of the results we have heard about, and you spoke about them there. People who've done little or no preparation and passed, who then demonstrate on social media they don't understand the rules after passing. To those who have failed after getting tough questions and ones open to huge interpretation, despite intense preparation and a good understanding of the rules in the industry. Some candidates may be fine with mock exams, some will need that one-to-one mentoring and all the other tools that are available to them, it seems. And there is no substitute for that revision. And again, the FIFA resources can be wide open to various interpretations and misinterpretation, especially if English, Spanish, or French is not your first language.
It can, and that's one of the difficult aspects, because I know a lot of people from Asia and Africa who decide to take it in English, but it's not really their language. It makes it quite difficult. Look, there's a lot of exam techniques that work for people. I mean, I'm not here to give 100 tips. You can get a lot of tips of how to prepare for an exam like this. If I was going to give some tips, it would be look at the intersection between the different regulations. What I mean by that is how the FIFA statutes work with the RSTP, Regulation of Status and Transfer of Players, very important document, and the FFAR, how the three things work together. Where are the definition sections in each? Because some definitions are not in the FFAR, they're in the other two documents or three documents. Also, when tackling a question, especially the longer questions, you break it down into limbs or elements, because that's the way you understand if it's nuanced or there's a proviso or there's a factor there that changes the whole dynamic. So break it down paragraph by paragraph so you can ascertain exactly what's been asked. There are a lot of tips out there, and I'm sure that if you put the work in, most likely you'll pass. But there's also an algorithm, as you mentioned, Jonathan. Some people got harder questions than others because they get chosen from a whole log. So we just hope for the best for everyone who does sit the next exam.
And navigating the documents is absolutely crucial and knowing where things are. But courses, mentoring and coaching for the exam is just the start of the journey for any agents. And I think we will hear more from our guest today on that aspect. Agents need to consider two other aspects of their training and development. The first is the CPD, the Continued Professional Development, which forms part of the ongoing licensing process under the FFAR. But I think for now, at least, the less said the better about the CPD provided by FIFA, as was, in my opinion, pretty poor to start, and in what is now 12 months on, hasn't really developed any further or really improved. The second is the more practical elements of being a football agent and actually operating in the industry. And whilst there are independent courses out there for that, there are only two, to my knowledge, run by governing bodies. One by UEFA, the Player Agent Programme, and one by FIFA, the FIFA Executive Programme in Football Agency. In fact, the latter of those, we both know a few people who have attended the FIFA course. Michael Frank, our guest on the last episode, is just one of those. And you yourself have successfully completed the FIFA course. So with that in mind, maybe you can give us a bit of an overview about the FIFA agent program, what it covers, who attends, who delivers it, and your general observations as someone who's actually undertaken that program.
Yes, I was in the first edition. Yeah, I was lucky to be chosen to undertake this FIFA executive program in Football Agency. It was a varied cohort, including from countries like Tanzania and Dominican Republic, about 20, 25 candidates, both new agents, experienced or older agents, as well as some football lawyers. So it's a bit of a mix there. The cost was about 2,000, I believe, euro, plus also a final trip to Zurich at FIFA HQ for the final in-person module. Otherwise, it was conducted by Zoom, the three previous modules before the Zurich final module. And it was basically a good array of speakers. What was important here, I think, was we actually had heads or specialists from different FIFA sections. For example, sections that deal with TMS or with player contracts or the Football Tribunal or the RSTP. So you really had some specialists, which not only was about the subjects, but also you can make those connections. So if you had questions down the track for clients, you would know who to ask. The other thing was basically the focus was on the business itself. So different client types and representations, dealing with minors and parents, negotiations, working with clients. There was a good topic there, TPO, international transfer of minors, all those sort of things. The transfer agreement, and we've discussed this in the podcast before, a little about what can make up a transfer agreement. But yes, the rules, regulations, and tax issues around that, and also scouting of players and different things. So it was a very good course. And the speakers were very varied. I think they selected different people with strong fields. We even had a strong journalist come in. So I encourage those who are interested to apply for that FIFA course. But there is another program, and this one is from UEFA, which we are keen to find out more. So with that, I'd like to introduce our guest for today's podcast, Stefan Erhardt. Stefan's the UEFA Academy Program Manager for the UEFA Player Agents Program. Stefan is a UEFA Academy career transition expert. Stefan has an intriguing and varied career. He was a stadium manager at Limoges in France, an academy coach at RC Strasbourg, the French club. He was a portfolio manager at Sport 5 International in Geneva. And also, which is quite intriguing, he set up a startup agency in China when he was working there for a few years. And interestingly, Stefan has published a guide for players to transition in their second career after football. It's called, in French, Guide After Foot, or The Footballer's Guide in English, available both in French and English. Stefan, welcome to the Agents Angle podcast. We appreciate you coming on.
Hi, guys. Nice to meet you all. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Now, we've been intrigued with the UEFA Academy generally because I have been on the UEFA Academy website and some fantastic programs, some fantastic resources in terms of, and for anyone out there, the UEFA Academy is a resource, it's a library, it's courses that UEFA provides to all stakeholders. Now, one program that's for our program at least was the Player Agent Program. And this program intrigued us, obviously being a football agent or player agent podcast. We're glad that Stefan's come on. Now, Stefan, can you tell us a little bit more about the course, how long it's been running, how often it runs, and about the first alumni it's seen graduate and the kind of people it attracts? Because having done some research, we looked at some of the first alumni and they're not all agents.
Yeah. So first of all, the program was just launched last year. So it's a very new program. You might have seen on the website, we have developed quite a lot of new programs over the last 2-3 years. One about recruiters and scouts, another one about TV pundits, another one about the agents, and so on and so on. So the original idea was that from a UEFA perspective, we thought that it was important to create a platform for agents because they are clearly part of the football landscape of the business and not in our intention to change that. And we had the feeling that there was still a lot of people on the market that were not really educated to do this job, didn't have really the right level of knowledge, of expertise and experience to perform this job at the right level. And so we thought that it would be interesting to launch a course. The other point that we noticed is that many agents actually work, let's say, quite secretly or just between themselves. So they don't really have a platform to share, to discuss, to interact with each other, because, of course, they are competitors. So we also thought that creating a platform for different agents from different countries to discuss, to share, and to have an open platform to just basically network and discuss was an interesting thing to do. And the technical part of the program is quite simple. It's very similar to most of our other programs that we go for quality. So you might have seen the figures of the FIFA, exam. And many agents were taking all around the world. So I think it was 6,000 at the end who actually completed it successfully. We select 35 people every 2 years. So obviously it's a very different approach. The idea is that we have 3 different seminars face to face. So we spend like almost a week together every time, which gives a platform for content, but also gives a very good platform for networking and actually knowing each other and having different opportunities to discuss. Then in between these seminars, which are organized directly at the clubs, we have some online sessions, online masterclasses. This gives us an opportunity to invite speakers from other regions who also share their knowledge and experience and expertise. And then, of course, doing the course, the participants also have to complete some tasks, some homeworks. So altogether, I would say it's an education program, but it's also an experience. It's an adventure for the 35 participants. And about your last question on the profiles, to be honest, we don't put the new license as a criteria to be selected because we're really looking for specific profiles. So the idea is to select people who are already in the business, Of course, the goal is not to select someone who's never done anything in football and is just there because he dreams about doing that. We select professionals and we also select people. So behind the professional, we want to understand who is the person, why he wants to do into this job, what he wants to do in this line of business, how he would like to perform his job, and what are his values and culture, and what he's going actually to bring to the group. So yeah, it's a tough selection, but we okay to stand for it. We don't mind. And the course is run every 2 seasons. So it's done in, let's say, alternatively with the UEFA Elite Scout program. So just last year in 2023, from September to December, we delivered the second edition of the Scout program. And in this year, in 2024, September to December, we will deliver the second edition of the UEFA Player Agent program.
Very interesting that you say it's seminars and then online, and people get 3-week opportunities to come together, all the alumni, or I should say the candidates taking the course. Just in terms of subject areas, I had a look at the course a little bit deeper from your brochure, and some of the standouts were technology, which we know that Y-Scout, Instat as well, and there's so many other platforms that are used by agents and scouts, case studies, and also a negotiation skill aspect. Can you tell us a little about why these topics were chosen or what the focus is in terms of the topics or subjects for the course?
Yeah, basically, we want to run a 360-degree approach for agents. That's the objective. We want a top agent to be able to have this knowledge about all the different topics. So first, before everything, the football knowledge is not business knowledge first. It's football knowledge first. So understanding the game, understanding the environment, understanding how football works, understanding how football governance is organized. So it might sound a little bit off, but it's actually really important. And then we slowly go through all the different topics. You mentioned video analysis, data, etc. I mean, how can you work in football today and not know what this is? You don't need to become an absolute expert of huddle or impact or whatever, but you need to know what it is, and you need to know how clubs recruit their players, and you need to know what is the new internal process that clubs are following so that you can fit into this process and deliver a good service. Of course, some clubs still listen to agents who make suggestions and say, oh, what about this left back and what about this number 10 and what do you think about this young kid, etc., etc. But you need to be aligned with what the club is doing on the other side. And clubs more and more use data and use video. So from an agent perspective, you need to understand how this works. You need to understand where it's coming from. You need to understand what is their objectives. And as you said, many agents also use data. You saw the recent examples of Kevin De Bruyne showing up in his, let's say, business meeting with Man City, showing all these great figures and saying, this is how much I'm worth now. So it's also valid on the other side. And to be honest, I really see a lot of similarities between recruiters and agents now. I'm not saying that they're doing the same job, but there are a lot of similarities in their day-to-day tasks, except that they are on the other side of the table. So this leads also naturally to the last point you mentioned about negotiation. And a negotiation is not ripping off the other side. A negotiation is not killing your opponent. A negotiation is working in harmony with another party and at the end of the day, being happy with the deal from the agent side, from the club side, and from the player side. And here again, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. There are a lot of good techniques that exist that have been developed for decades and work really well. So we just want the top agents to know these techniques and to be able to use them on a daily basis and to have a professional approach when they speak to coaches, when they speak to clubs, when they speak to sporting directors, when they speak to scouts, when they speak to other agents, or when they speak to their own players. So yeah, we went with a, let's say, a strategy of delivering a 360-degree approach course. And then we went line by line in all the different topics, making sure that we cover it in one way or another. So this is why you saw in the brochure that we have some presentations, we have some case studies, we have some exercises, we have some group talks, we have some panels. We attend games, live games, where the agents need to analyze what's happening in front of them. And this is what we did on the first edition as well.
So we had a look at the course outline and we identified a lot of very interesting and good panel of presenters. Can you tell us a little about who are the type of presenters in the UEFA course?
Yeah. First of all, I want to say how lucky and fortunate I am to be able to develop this course in the context of UEFA, because this is basically giving us the opportunity to have the best of the best. So we want the best candidates. This is why we have such a, let's say, a sophisticated selection process. And of course, on the other side, we want the best experts to talk to them. So this UEFA badge helped me and help us to approach all these experts, invite them on the course and share. And it's, of course, great content and great opportunities for the participants, both from the knowledge side, but also from the network side. But to be honest, it's also a great experience for us, the speakers, because we also learn a lot from all the experts that come in and share. And we also learn a lot from the participants themselves, because all of them have been in the business, have been on the market, have been doing some transfers, have been managing some players in lots of different countries. I think the last edition was 26 different countries in the group. So the experts who come and speak and share also learn a lot from the group. This is why it's so interesting and so exciting to have all these people in the same room, because it's learning as well in 360-degree dimensions.
Stefan, there's a lot of other courses around now aimed at agents, and I think it's fair to say it's been a bit of an avalanche of courses, probably prompted by the exam and the new license. How does the UEFA course differ from those other courses? And also, how does it complement those programs and courses, and vice versa, do you think?
Well, you nailed it, like you put the finger on it. It's that most of the courses that exist are just there for you to pass that FIFA exam. So they're giving you the tricks on how to do the test and how to understand the questions and what's the right way to, let's say, increase your percentage of success in the questions and eventually on the test, which is all fine. I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to pass this test, you need to be prepared for it. And this is fine. But for me, the best metaphor is to compare with your driving license, driving a car. You want to be a Formula One driver. Okay, maybe you pass your driving license. That's not making you a top driver. That's not making you a Formula One driver. So we have the same approach here. Like, okay, it's one thing to answer these questions and read those regulations and understand them. But now you have to learn how to do the job. And learning how to do the job is not going to be done in 15 hours online by just answering a few questions. So as I said before anything else, you need to understand football. You need to understand the game. You need to be able to read the game. You need to be able to analyze the performance of a team and within that team, your player or your players, if you have several in. To know that, you will need years and you will need experience and you will need a hell of a lot of live games and video games, etc. So all the other parts is the same. We mentioned the business side of things. You need time, you need to practice, you need to understand. Then you need to develop your network. You need to know other agents. You need to know clubs. You need to know players. You need to know sporting directors. And again, you're not going to learn this by doing an online course for 10 hours and answering 20 questions. So this is our aim. It's like we want to be doing the training of these guys, not just giving the driving license.
Touching on that exam and the test and the new regulation, it's made the agent's world a really uncertain place at the moment, not least in the last couple of years. How has the change with regulations affected the course? Has it made you redefine certain aspects and address that within the course? Just in terms of regulations alone, is the course framed around the FFAR, the FIFA Football Agent regulations, the RWWI, regulations on working with intermediaries? Or is it a collection of national approaches and regulations within the UEFA nations, or even a mix of all of those?
We would have a global approach on these things. So we basically look at the whole world. And then our approach is to say, first of all, you have three possible cases. First case, you already had your license before they even put the new system in place. And in the first edition of the course, the new FIFA regulations were not in place and it still worked perfectly fine. We had a few French guys on the course last time and they are still obliged to follow the French law, which is different from the new FIFA regulation. And our new approach for the next edition is that, again, doesn't matter your status, you can apply. And then if you have not passed the FIFA test yet and you want to do so, the alumni of our program will help you to pass the exam because many of these guys have done it last year, so they know how it works and they can help you get ready for it. But this is not the content of the course. The content of the course is how to perform your job, how to be good at your job, how to understand football, how to do a deal, how to work with another agent, how to work with sporting directors, etc., etc. The fact that you need to pass this test for me is on the side. Of course, we will share the regulations and we will also discuss them. But at the end of the day, if you want to pass this exam, you will do it separately from the UEFA course, either before or after, or even in the course if you want to. But this is not our content.
Stefan, a key thing for me, and it might only be a minor detail to a lot of people, is that your UEFA program is a player agent program. And that's a key thing that I pick out when we talk about FIFA football agent regulations in one form or another, and it being focused on players. Does your program include much aspect on the club agent representation side, or is it totally focused on the player agents?
No, you're right. I mean, when we created the course, this whole new regulation was not in place yet. So we wanted to focus on, let's say, the word player agent. But of course, the player agent can do intermediation and can do deals between clubs to move a player from one club to another. At the end of the day, there's always going to be a player. Otherwise, there's no deal. So to answer your question directly, yes, of course. We talk about intermediation, we talk about transfers, we talk about clubs making deals, and then the agent having to kind of step in and help his player. We talk about all possibilities.
From your observations of running the course and those of your colleagues and working with the people who've gone through the course, where do you think are the weak points in agents' knowledge and also their strengths? And also those 20% others who've attended the course with a non-agent background in their knowledge of agent-related matters, where do you think their strengths are and also their weak points?
It's difficult to make, let's say, a generalization, but I would say most of them are good workers. Like, they work hard. They have this ability to put down efforts, go for it. They are courageous. They're not scared. And this is already a great starting point. And then I would make different categories. Some of them have very good football knowledge, but they don't know so much the legal aspects and the business side. Some other guys have extremely good knowledge about all the regulations, all the legal elements, but they lack a little bit on the sporting side. And some guys are like extremely good salesmen. You can see they could sell sand in the desert, but they don't really have the football knowledge. They don't really know what's happening on the pitch. And therefore, they lack a little bit this part. So I would say all the guys that come in, they have something really strong in their profile, which is good. But now to go to the weak points is that I struggle to see people who really have a 360-degree approach. I struggle to see agents that really know the football side, governance side, business side, and have a strong network. This is what we're aiming for all these guys. The ones who are strong in the football side, we make sure that they work hard on the other side so they compensate and so on. But I think this is really crucial. And if you look at the agencies or the agents which have been really, really successful in the recent, let's say, two decades, all of them were ticking all the boxes and might not have learned all this through a course. Of course, could have been through experience and knowledge and making mistakes like everyone else. But at the end of the day, they become a good agent because they can really deliver on all aspects. And sometimes they were using someone next to them. Like, if they don't have that knowledge, but they are super strong on the other points, they just bring someone in the box and then they are, let's say, solid on the market.
Stefan, moving forward, are there any future plans for further development of the course or any additional courses in agency that maybe UEFA Academy are looking at?
Well, the idea is to run this course every 2 years. So we want to continue to do so. We received quite a lot of applications on the first edition. Applications are now going to open for September. So if you want to apply, it's the time now. And in the next 2-3 months. Depends. At the moment, as I said in the beginning, we really want to focus on quality. We prefer to have 32 applicants and candidates who are really, really strong every 2 years instead of making it bigger and bigger. So yeah, at the moment, we're not planning to change our approach on this.
Just to close, in terms of the candidates who can apply, I assume that candidates outside of Europe can apply for the course, or is it just for candidates who live in UEFA member countries?
No, it's open for all agents all around the world. We even had agents from the US last time. We had one guy from Indonesia. It's totally open.
Okay, fantastic. Really appreciate you coming on and really being open to how the course is run and its strengths and also where it's going to be improving in the future. Really appreciate also your answers and thank you for coming on to the podcast, Stefan.
Thank you so much.
I have to say, Jonathan, that was a very forthright, informative interview with Stefan. It's interesting that both FIFA and UEFA have this offering. It's actually developing the industry, and I think that is a good move. Stefan himself, in this interview, I think he highlighted some interesting aspects in terms of what profile of candidates they're looking at who can excel in the player agent business. Not everyone needs to have a license. They can even be a sporting director or someone interested in the business. The kind of candidates they're seeking, they seem quite selective, I think. It's interesting, their course is very varied, very different. I mean, obviously, football data and statistics is very important. They obviously look at operational, commercial, and management. Negotiation, I notice, is a big aspect, as is mention of ethical challenges of the agent job. So it's quite a comprehensive course, a very interesting course, and I would think it would be a very good experience, not just for new agents, but for experienced practitioners too, Jonathan.
Now, people listening may well be wondering why we featured UEFA's course and not anyone else's. The first reason behind that is that we want to try and keep the agent's angle as independent as possible on such topics. Secondly, we were only aware that out of all the federations, only UEFA runs such an agent programme. And although Peter spoke about the FIFA Executive Agent Programme prior to our interview with Stefan, FIFA have also been invited to come on the show numerous times to talk about their agent programme, but yet again, they avoided the proposition, as they did with talking about their agent CPD, and their rejection to talk about aspects of FFAR, amongst other things, with us. All this in an age of transparency, openness, and consultation, it would appear. And I think it's fantastic that UEFA showed us and you, the listeners, the courtesy to come on the show and talk to us about this. And a lot of what Stefan said about raising standards and professional development and education in the agents world is reinforced by what we've said and many of our guests on the agents angle have spoken about in past episodes. However, referring back to Stefan's interview, just some observations from me. The first thing is, he said that the course is about how to do your job as an agent. And I think that is something so crucial and missed by so many. Yes, there are other courses out there, many independent ones who claim to do that. But some of those are to be wary of, as for me, they almost tie candidates into a quasi-franchise model. And rather than educating and mentoring student agents to become independent agents, they offer in effect internships that effectively have the student agent not only work for them, but pay for the privilege. The other thing about the UEFA course I noted is the very broad and practical topic areas covered. Because for so many years, agents have had to source their own professional development and quite often learn on the job, only if through their own mistakes, sadly. When I was with SOFIA, the Society of Football Intermediaries and Agents, we ran courses with partners on a variety of practical subjects for agents, such as data analysis, scouting with the likes of Y-Scout, tax with HMRC, and others. Also, it seems that Stefan and his colleagues at UEFA recognise the broader role that agents do and look to develop that skill set. And while some football bodies don't seemingly recognise the broad role some agents play, or that agents are stakeholders in typical governance models, it seems UEFA do recognise agents as a clear and defined stakeholder. I think Stefan even said that they recognised agents as an important part of the football landscape, and they didn't want to change that. And like Rafaela Pimenta said on episode 31 of The Agents Angle, Stefan spoke of the emphasis on the student cohort being a group, networking, supporting, sharing knowledge, and sharing ideas. As many aren't aware that the role of a football agent can be a lonely one, especially if you are independent. And finally, the selection criteria for the course is not only about the quality of the candidates, but also looks at their values, aims, and goals, which for me is so important if this industry is to improve its image and raise professional standards.
The interesting thing about this course is it provides many networking opportunities, not just amongst the 30-35 cohorts, but also with a lot of the presenters and speakers on the course. And the next one, which I believe is next year, because they do it every 2 years, UEFA Academy, part of it's in Portugal, other part of it's in Germany, other part of it's at the UEFA headquarters in Switzerland, I think Neon. And they look at other facets of the business. One is scouting players, which I think now has become more important for agents, especially in identifying talent. We mentioned talent identification before. And then also they're looking at the 360 approach to agency in the terms of probably they want to look at it holistically and also look at how the business develops. Now, one interesting thing would be for me, is a UEFA course? Is there a more international dimension in the UEFA course, or are they looking to expand on that? Because yes, the home of football, the home of deals, the biggest player agents are in Europe. However, we know the plates or the game is shifting, a lot more deals in Asia, obviously the Americas, Brazilian teams really pushing a lot of export talent. and Africa, who's developing a lot of the talent. How you deal with that market, the dynamics of that market, the talent identification, the ability to bring those players into the countries to play. All courses improve over time. The UEFA course, I think, is at the cutting edge. Very good experience, different countries. But also, there's opportunities to expand it beyond, I would say, a UEFA European mindset. And speaking to Stefan, he did say that candidates from outside Europe are welcome to apply and will be accepted if they are the right fit and the type of people they're looking for, Jonathan.
I think that was a great thing that he actually closed off by saying, after you posed the question to him, that it's open to everybody around the world. And I say this as a European, that there is a Eurocentric approach with some of the community in football, if not, dare I say, a Euro snobbery. And they've put that to one side with this course. They've opened the doors to everyone. If you're the right person and you meet the criteria, the doors to this course are open, it would seem. However, I do have some concerns more so as a critical friend rather than direct criticism of the UEFA programme, as I think it's a really welcome programme and should be applauded. The first is the lack of focus on the regulations, as this is a crucial part of doing the job after all. Plus, as we mentioned earlier, some people pass the FIFA agent exam, still not thoroughly understanding the regulations and their responsibilities. And it would be good to have a course that aimed at eliminating some of those FIFA grey areas on misinterpretation. Then there's the cost. This course is approximately 8,000 euros. That's almost $9,000. Whilst the FIFA course at this time is roughly $2,000. The same as the long established Loughborough University programme, I think. And although cost doesn't necessarily correlate to value, I think this price point will exclude a lot of good agents from the UEFA programme. I actually considered applying myself, but comparing perceived value to cost, I deemed it a little bit too much for me from my perspective. Then there's the intake of just 35 candidates in each cohort, and that's every 2 years. So by the turn of the next century, at this rate, just over 1,000 candidates would be able to attend this programme. So that's over the course of 75 years. Yet, although Stefan didn't say it, I got the impression UEFA may be considering increasing the frequency of the courses due to demand, but we'll wait to see. And finally, the factor of having a FIFA agent's license not being part of the criteria to enrol on the course, I found a little bit strange, at least for the 80% of the cohort that would fall into the agent category. As surely, that may result in some licensed agents missing out from the course, or even encourage unlicensed agency activity, dare I say. And as I said before, this course is about how to do the job and should surely come after someone is licensed.
That's an interesting point, Jonathan. In our research for this podcast, we looked at obviously a lot of courses offering training for the exam, the FIFA agents exam, but there are also a lot of courses about how to do the business. And I think it's important here that for someone who wants to take the UEFA Academy course, this program, they're in a dilemma. Do they take the exam first so then they can learn and embellish their skills in the business? Or is it better to do a course like this, see if you really enjoy the business and then go get the license? This is an interesting conundrum for a lot of people, I would say. What do you do first? Do you do one or the other? But there's also more to that. There are other courses, sporting director courses that are around, scouting courses that we know that are around, and these skills sort of interrelate. Now, it's interesting, players or ex-players or players about to retire are sort of good candidates for this course as well, not just intermediary or agents. I wonder if FIFPro itself would provide scholarships for some of the candidates to this course, especially ex-players. Also, what about agent organizations who don't have a course? They provide or assist some of their agents or potential proteges or whatever to undertake this course. I mean, we need to see a lot more of that happening in the space. And we talk about professionalization of agents, and it is a very individual business, individual-centric, because it is a tough business. You know, you're looking at client loyalties and all that. But the proliferation of courses, of offerings, of elite courses from stakeholders like the FIFA course and now this UEFA course shows there is demand. But I would like to see also more support structures around it and for other stakeholders to step up to the plate and support some of the candidates as well.
But I think we can agree it looks a very good program, albeit probably a bit too costly for some, and anything that raises those professional standards we all welcome. But this program is effectively part of the agent's own CPD, continued professional development. And although it isn't mandatory, we do have a mandatory CPD requirement for licensed agents at the moment from FIFA. And I think when it was announced, the idea of CPD, it was welcomed by the majority. And it's a major part for me in adding value to having a FIFA agent's license. However, the FIFA agent platform went live in, I recall, April 2023, which is almost a year ago now. And yesterday, in preparing for this episode, yes, I do prepare, it may seem hard to believe at times, I went on the FIFA agents platform to check the latest CPD for agents in case there were any new additions. And lo and behold, the platform seemed not to be working as it should. Not for the first time, either for me or many others. And this is now for an extended period, it has consistently had problems of various kinds. And with that in mind, I spoke to a few agents over the last 12 to 24 hours, and some can get the platform to function and some can't. And from what I can gather, it seems to be a compatibility issue with browsers and operating systems. Those using Macs and Safari seem to be okay, but PC and Android users with Chrome, Firefox, Edge or Brave seem to have continuing problems, albeit FIFA support recommend using Google Chrome. But back to the CPD modules, from what I recall when I was last able to check approximately a month ago, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Peter, we just have 5 or 6 CPD modules available to licensed agents after almost a year. Some of the FIFA CPD, albeit limited, is, I admit, quite useful. But most of it, from my perspective, is either next to useless or somewhat pointless. And I've heard many agents complain that the CPD assessment answers are arguably incorrect on occasions, and I have to agree with them. Hence, agents are retrying the CPD assessments and deliberately entering the wrong answers to pass the required module, such as the protection of minors module.
That's interesting. CPD is very important in a lot of professions, you know, accounting, law, and now as part of the framework of the new FFAR, CPD was one of the essential pillars, continuous professional development. And I think that's very important. And in terms of the platform, we all want the platform to work. I mean, you're entitled to vent if the technology is not there. In this day and age, we do rely on technology and platforms to be able to do our work and get access to different information, including the CPD. The CPD courses that are there are very important for ongoing learning for being an agent. I'm sure there'll be more offerings, and maybe sooner or later, FIFA may even bring private providers to provide some other courses. I know some of these were prepared in conjunction with private providers, but it's key with these CPD courses to keep things fresh and extend the offering. Now, I know that there will be some updates, but yeah, you need it to function. And that's the important part, Jonathan. You need to function, access, and it's not just the courses, but it's the other functionality around the platform.
Now, it's reasonable to think that by the time this episode of The Agent's Angle is published, these problems will be fixed or not long thereafter. Not least as we know FIFA listened to the show. Morning, FIFA. And they have responded to us commenting on such bugs in past episodes and patched them, if not actually fixed them. The good thing for me is that I was just looking at researching the CPD elements, so nothing too urgent. However, that is not the same as several agents who we've spoken to who have at times been unable to use the agent's platform to upload important documents that affect their business, register for licensing, or even register for the exam, or even just log onto the platform itself. Yes, IT issues may be a day-to-day factor, but it is crucial when it relates to a 24/7, 365 business and underpins the applicable licensing and regulations.
Yes, that's all good points. I mean, today, obviously, our show focuses the importance of ongoing education and also developing in professional skills through courses. And we know that the technology needs to work with that. We're always in the learning business, I would say. Whether you're 1 year as an agent or 20 years as an agent, you need to be able to continuously learn and improve your skills. The ability to run courses by platform, Zoom, incorporate experience and offerings that make it very popular. And I think as we discuss CPD, important courses like what FIFA and UEFA in football agency and player agency are offering, and training overall is very important. Now, before we close the show, Jonathan, I've just got a few updates very quickly. This week, there was the Transfer Room Summit, who had their meetings in Rome. A lot of agents went to this event to network, and I think there was over 300 clubs. So that was a big agent event going on, obviously with clubs, but working through Transfer Room. Also, the relevant case in America, and why I raise this case, is moving closer to be heard by the Supreme Court in the USA. Just as a bit of background, Relevant is a promotion company that is suing the US Soccer Federation for stopping them from promoting and hosting an official La Liga match in the USA, which was aimed to be at Miami, I believe. They are making their claim under the USA Sherman Antitrust Act, which is like the Anti-Competition Act. This type of act will apply if an organization decided to take on the fee caps in the USA. It's an important case from a football perspective because it relates to football, but I would say also going forward, if there is any anti-competition elements in terms of football in the US, this case is important because this is the act that applies, and we know how agents have litigated against fee caps. So just wanted to mention that.
And I think it's something that we're definitely going to cover in a future episode.
Yes. It's just that case, the relevant case, is moving closer to the Supreme Court, which is the ultimate court in the US. And really, we need to keep an eye on that. Now, please share the links to our recent episodes for anyone interested. We've had fantastic speakers over the last 30 episodes. We've had a very interesting educational piece today. So really please share to anyone who's interested. Please also complete some of our surveys on Spotify. And please also feel free to send us an email if you're keen on a certain topic or want us to chase a guest. Bye from me.
So until the next episode of The Agent's Angle, take care, everyone. And for those of you who are looking to register for the third FIFA Agents exam, you have less than 7 days now to apply. That's if the FIFA Agent platform allows you to register. Good luck and bye for now.
The purpose of the Agent's Angle podcast is to provide news, information and facilitate discussion on regulatory matters, policies, business trends and issues affecting football agents worldwide. The opinions and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only and should never be considered legal or professional advice. Furthermore, the views expressed by guests are their own and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Thank you for listening.